UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Lung nodule management is complex and requires a multidisciplinary approach to provide comprehensive care. Interventional pulmonology is an evolving field that utilizes minimally invasive modalities for the initial diagnosis and staging of suspected lung cancers. My guest today is Dr. Joseph Thatchuthara George. He's an interventional pulmonologist at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. George. So what are some of the causes of lung nodules, and may they be from metastases or originally diagnosed there?
Okay. First of all, thank you for having me in this interview. So coming to the lung nodules, lung nodules can be due to multiple reasons, and it can sometimes be non-cancerous also. It could be infection, inflammation, or cancer. And when it comes to cancer-related lung nodules, if it is from metastasis, usually you can have multiple nodules in the lung. If it's a single nodule, it's probably primary origin is from the lung. And so there are multiple reasons for the lung nodules, and metastasis or primary lung depends on the number as well as the characteristics of the nodule.
What about the clinical presentation? How would you detect malignancy?
So in general, lung cancers are very challenging because the highest mortality rate is mainly because lung cancers are detected very late in the disease process. So because of which, most of the time, the lung nodules or early stages of lung cancer, patients are usually asymptomatic. And now we have this lung cancer screening program where we tend to do a screening CT on patients who are at high risk for developing lung cancer. The other ways of detecting lung nodules are you do a CT for some other reason, CT of the chest. If you are suspecting a blood clot or some other reason, you do a CT and incidentally you find a spot in the lung or lung nodule. And that's how most of our patients get referred to us when they incidentally find a nodule. And most of them are asymptomatic in terms of their lung symptoms.
So how do you determine nodule growth?
So nodule growth, depending on the size of the nodule, a nodule is any opacity in the lung less than 30 millimeters or less than 3 centimeters. If it is more than 3 centimeters, it's a mass. And if it is less than 3 centimeter and greater than 8 millimeter, you consider it as a nodule. And if it's less than 8 millimeter, you can do serial CAT scan or surveillance CAT scans. And based on that CAT scan, you can determine if the nodule has grown in size or not. And depending on the original size of the nodule, you follow it up at 3 months or 6 months and then see if it has grown in size. If it has grown more than 26% of the diameter, then that means the volume of the nodule has doubled. And that is concerning usually if it happens in less than 400 days.
Can you calculate in a pretest probability of malignancy?
Yes, we can. There are usually two ways. There's an objective way, or there is a way. Researchers, the Mayo Clinic has developed a model to calculate the pretest probability, and there are online modules available where you can plug in the numbers, and that will give you a pretest probability. In general, the independent predictors of this of malignancy of a lung nodule are age. Older the age, higher the chance of it being malignant. History of smoking, current or past smoking. History of any cancer other than in the chest or extrathoracic cancer malignancy, that increases the chance of it being malignancy. And diameter of the nodule, the larger the diameter, the higher the chance. Then characteristic, we call it spicculation of the nodule or irregular surface of the nodule. And if it is in the upper lobe, these are the characteristics that determine the probability of malignancy in this lung nodules, and there are softwares that can predict the give the actual number or percentage prediction for this being cancer.
And tell us about bronchoscopic detection for malignancy, and then speak about some treatments.
Okay. So coming to bronchoscopic approach has been used as the, usually we use it as a primary modality of diagnosis, mainly because there are new bronchoscopic methods that are available. So whenever we see a lung nodule, our approach in general is to see if there are any lymph nodes enlarged around the trachea or bronchus. So for what we usually do is we go in with an endobronchial ultrasound. This is the bronchoscope with an ultrasound probe at the end. And we scan the area from within the airway around the area to see, look for any lymph nodes. And if there is a right-sided lung nodule, we start looking from the left side. And if we find any lymph node, then we do needle aspiration of that lymph node. By this way, we can, for one, we can diagnose if there is cancer in that area and also stage at the same time. If there is lymph node positive on the other side, it's higher stage of cancer. Then we don't necessarily have to go for the lung nodule. If all those lymph nodes are negative, then the approach is, depending on the size and the location of the lung nodule, we can either use regular biopsies from the from within the lung through bronchoscope, or sometimes we use navigation bronchoscopy. Those are the main modalities that we use.
And how are pulmonary nodules treated? And speak about tumor debulking.
So pulmonary nodules so first, once we diagnose the nodule, it depends on whether the patient is a candidate or is a candidate for resection or not. That depends on the stage of the tumor. Again, we do the endobronchial ultrasound and needle aspiration of the lymph nodes to determine the stage. If it's an early stage and if the tumor can be resected, then we, and if their lung function are favorable, then we send them to a surgeon. If it cannot be resected and if patient is not a candidate for surgical resection, then what we do is we place some markers, or called fiducial markers, with our navigation bronchoscopy, and this can help with the radiation treatment. And to tell you about the navigation bronchoscopy, which is actually a newer technique, it gives you a roadmap to reach lung nodules which are far out in the lung, and that kind of, it's similar to a GPS. That is what we use in navigation bronchoscopy. Coming to the tumor debulking, it's usually not for the nodules. Once the nodules gets bigger and when it becomes a mass, then it can block the windpipe or the airway. So what we usually do is, depending on the characteristic of the tumor that is blocking the airway, we go in with a rigid bronchoscope, that is a rigid hollow tube, and then sometimes we use laser, or we use just cautery or forceps to remove the tumor. And if the airway is still narrow, then we place a stent in there to keep the airway open. And this will buy us time for the patient to get treatment and relieve or shrink the tumor.
Can navigational bronchoscopy be utilized to assist radiation oncologists for SBRT, for example?
That's true, correct. So we work with our radiation oncology team here. And whenever there is a lung nodule that they need to use SBRT, with the navigation bronchoscopy, we place markers around the lung nodule so that they can direct their SBRT beam in reference to these markers, and they can do the treatment for the lung nodules.
And speak about palliative management and non-surgical candidates. What else can be done?
So in palliative, from a bronchoscopic standpoint, what we do in general is to make their breathing better. If there is a blockage in the airway, we look at the airway and see if what is blocking it. It's something compressing from outside. If it is something compressing from outside, then we put a stent in to keep the airway open and make them breathe better. If it is a tumor blocking from inside, then we go in and remove the tumor with the bronchoscope by using laser or cautery or argon plasma coagulation. And sometimes we just use our forceps to debulk the tumor. And that kind of opens up the airway and helps them breathe better. The other thing we do is if there is fluid around the lung that is causing collapse of the lung, then we sometimes put a catheter in there on a long term, and which patient can drain at home And that also will help with their breathing.
And wrap it up for us with your best advice for other physicians about an interventional pulmonary approach to lung nodules.
So, in general, even whenever you come across a lung nodule, the main question is what are the pretest probabilities for this being cancer and whether it needs to be followed up on a repeat CAT scan in 3 or 6 months or whether it needs to be biopsied or not. And usually we have a lung nodule clinic and a lot of community pulmonologists as well as internists send patients to us. And we sometimes follow them on a regular basis, and depending on their risk for lung cancer, we tend to do biopsies. So, two things: if it's less than 8 millimeter lung nodule, you can always follow the Fleischner criteria and follow the lung nodules on a regular interval. If it is more than 8 millimeters and there is concern for cancer, then he can be, you know, referred to our interventional pulmonary clinic, and we will see them within 1 week time. That's our appointment time, and within 2 weeks we will usually do our procedure. And if we feel that this needs to be addressed by a surgeon or a radiologist, then we kind of coordinate with them because we have a multidisciplinary team here where we work closely with our surgeons, radiation oncologists, radiologists, pathologists, and oncologists. And we have our tumor board also. So difficult cases, we discuss there as well. So, yeah.
And in the last few minutes, Dr. George, how can a community physician refer a patient to UAB Medicine?
So there are two ways. There is a UAB MIST operator they can call, or they can always call our pulmonary call center. That our number is 205-996-5862. Or other number is 205-934-7679. If they want to refer a patient to interventional pulmonology, they just need to tell them, and the message will come to us, and our office will coordinate things from there.
And tell us about your team. Why is UAB so great to work with?
UAB UAB is a very big place, and that means that they have almost everything that is needed to function as a well-oiled machine for this kind of multidisciplinary approach. We have a full set OR for our interventional pulmonary procedures. We have a good relation with our surgeons as well as our oncologists, radiologists, and pathologists. And also, we have an excellent team of support staff, our Bronx staff, who has been doing this for many years, and these things are not new to them. Even though we recently added some more new modalities, but they picked up very fast, and we have a good coordinating team here in place already, and that makes it very easy for us to take care of these patients and in a more efficient way.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Doctor. It's great information. You're listening to UAB Medcast, and for more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.